Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to the latest fusillade of fol-de-rol and fiddle-dee-dee at Fox News. On Sunday, we learned right there on Fox News Sunday, Chris Wallace uncorks industry shocker. He's leaving Fox News Sunday. What he didn't say was he was leaving for CNN Plus. Now, leaving Fox to join CNN in ratings terms is sort of like leaving the Super Bowl champion to join the Detroit Lions. And then you're basically going to say, well, no, I would like to actually work for the minor league football version of the Detroit Lions. The money must be good. Yes, Wallace said, as I embark on this adventure, ka-ching, ka-ching, I am honored and delighted to join Jeff Zucker and his great team. Yep, there you go. There's your official statement. Oh, now I love Chris Cuomo. Jeffrey Toobin is one of the finest journalists out there. Don Lemon is one of the lesser sexual harassers on this great team. Well, at least Wallace is suggesting he's not going to exactly do the same thing. He's not going to, sounds like, he's not going to do some sort of daily MTP daily for CNN.com type show. He said he was excited to go beyond politics to all the things I'm interested in. And now cupcakes with Chris Wallace. He's 74, so I mean, I guess he's got the right to do whatever he wants to do. We'll see what he wants to do. Sounds like it won't just be all politics. But, you know, this was one of those interesting moments because you knew that the CNN types, Brian Stelter, was going to be all excited about this. A Fox source said to Stelter that Wallace's departure felt like a death in the family. Howard Kurtz on Media Buzz wished Chris Wallace well. He called it a major loss for Fox News. Again, there's the whole echoes here of how somebody's just irreplaceable. Is this a major loss? Do we know? Let's see what happens to the Fox News Sunday ratings. And how will they compare to Tapper and Dana Bash? Major loss. I mean, this is something that they keep forgetting. They keep trying to suggest that every departure is going to harm Fox. Bill O'Reilly, it's a death blow. Megyn Kelly's, it'll never be the same. I mean, this is what happens. Fox just chugs along because they are the alternative. You know, but I think Chris Wallace was this sort of principal under Roger Ailes. He loved to borrow from the other networks. He was sort of taking their credibility on loan. You know, I'm going to get Paula Zahn from CBS. I'm going to get Gretchen Carlson from CBS. I'm going to borrow Greta Van Susteren from CNN. I'm going to go get Geraldo Rivera. That was 20 years ago. Geraldo Rivera has been at Fox for 20 years. And this is the thing that's funny, is people like CNN go running around going, oh, it's so one note, it's so right wing, it's so imbalanced. Fox has Geraldo. Where's the Geraldo Rivera of CNN? I'm not saying that would be a good thing. I'm just saying they fire people like Rick Santorum can't have it. You know, I guess now they're hiring Alyssa Farah. Alyssa Farah, will she be like Scott Jennings or will she be like S.E. Cup? But Stelter was enjoying all this because he was recycling. Oh, Clive Irving wrote for the Daily Beast on Sunday. Fox News is fully Tucker TV now. Then he says, Julia Yoffe said it well on his show, The Reliably Liberal Reliable Sources. Julia said, Fox is like a crazy sauce that you keep on the burner, and it keeps reducing more and more and gets more and more concentrated. And I think that flavor isn't for everybody. It definitely isn't for Wallace. Excuse me, Julia. Speaking of crazy sauce, this chick, this info babe, she went on CNN. She went on Jake Tapper's show, and she proclaimed that Donald Trump, this is the quote, radicalized more people than ISIS.
I think, you know, this president, one of the things that he really launched his presidential run on is talking about Islamic radicalization. And this president has radicalized so many more people than ISIS ever did.
Who's boiling down the crazy sauce? Get off the burner! The NPR people were smash mouth about these developments. Eric Deggans, the TV critic, said of Wallace, he was with Fox for 18 years. That's a lot of avoidance, self-deception, and looking the other way to account for. And he's smart enough to know he was an important cog in a long con. But America has grown so polarized, the channel doesn't need to pretend anymore. Excuse me, Eric Deggans, speaking of pretending, who thinks NPR isn't polarizing? NPR, the website that actually promoted a book called In Defense of Looting. Let's just write something in there. In Defense of Looting NPR. How would you like that? We'll all break into NPR headquarters and steal your crap. NPR, we're not polarizing. We just love cop killers like Mobia Abul-Jamal. And talk about a long con. What's a con job that this channel is public radio? Which public does NPR represent? We all know they represent a far-left bubble. That's who they represent. They were very clear about this. The public editor, Kelly McBride, earlier this year said, "We don't care what conservatives think about us. Their criticism of us doesn't matter. They're not helping us make the NPR we want to make, which is a radical little hive." The idea that NPR and CNN get to get up on their high horse and say, "Those people are crazy sauce. They're polarizing and divisive." Not us. You know, left-wing media outlets ought to just, I mean, we want to talk about pretending. Stop pretending that somehow you get to judge what's extreme. These people all run around and call themselves mainstream media. Guess what? You're losing. The mainstream is not moving your direction. Biden is falling apart. The Democrats' numbers are bad. So who is the mainstream now? It doesn't seem to be you. There is one thing we know about all these developments. One thing we can guess. The Democrats now will really oppose a presidential debate moderator from Fox News. Now, maybe the new Fox News Sunday host could be Fox's sort of nominee for a job like that. Obviously, you would think first of Bret Baier, but Bret's got a daily show. I suppose you could say you could put Bret on Sundays and have somebody do special report on Mondays and Tuesdays or something, you know, sort of the Chuck Todd MTB Daily approach. Martha McCallum, I don't know why they have this rotating cast of people at 7 p.m. instead of having Martha. They took her off prime time. You could put Martha McCallum on Sunday. That one might be interesting. Fill in the blank. You could put a lot of people there in the Fox News Sunday spot, but I think Fox would probably be wise to try to pick somebody that they could plausibly suggest to the Commission on Presidential Debates that you take them seriously. And I think that is part of the problem is, again, they've all been driving themselves insane for 4 or 5 years now that Fox just isn't credible anymore. And they're going to use this Chris Wallace news to do all that. I would say to my liberal friends and acquaintances, nothing's really probably going to change here. Fox News is still going to be popular. CNN's still going to be in third. CNN's going to have a third of Fox's ratings. I don't think anything's going to change that. Who's going to be watching Chris Wallace on CNN Plus? I don't know, especially if he's making cupcakes. But now he's joining the network of Don Lemon. Did you see this? Don Lemon announced on the show the other night 38,680 deaths on the U.S. highways last year, the most fatalities since 2007. That's terrible. But Don Lemon then tried to say, what's causing this? Some experts are saying this is due to an overall lack of civility in our society. A lack of civility we've seen at school board meetings, over mask mandates, and on airplanes. And somehow now it's like, if you complain at the school board meeting, you're probably going to plow somebody over on the highway? Who's the expert? Where's the footnote? Where do they get this stuff? And if we're dying on the highways because of a lack of civility, can we blame CNN? We think Trump is Hitler. Well, how is that less nutty than people that show up at the school board meeting? Then there's this. Oh, guess what? Chris Cuomo, when it rains, it pours. Creepy former Chris Cuomo producer John Griffin has been exposed for performing some sort of sexual training for grade school girls with their mothers. Now, you know, Hollywood made a movie out of Fox News sex harassment called Bombshell. Let's guess that no one's going to make a creepy movie about the CNN guy and the 9-year-old girl. According to the indictment out of Vermont, John Griffin communicated with parents of minor daughters, conveying to them, among other ideas, that a woman is a woman regardless of her age and that women should be sexually subservient and inferior to men. See, you could make this whole thing as A Handmaid's Tale in real life, starring a CNN producer. Not gonna happen. On these communications platforms, Griffin sought to persuade parents to allow him to train their daughters to be sexually submissive. It continued. In June of 2020, John Griffin advised a mother of 9 and 13-year-old daughters that the mother's responsibility was to see that her older daughter was, quote-unquote, trained properly. Griffin later transferred over $3,000 to the mother for plane tickets so the mother and her 9-year-old daughter could fly from Nevada to Boston's Logan Airport. The mother and child flew to Boston in July of 2020, where Griffin picked them up in his Tesla. How CNN is that? While we're sexually abusing minors, we drive an electric car for the planet. Griffin picked them up in his Tesla, drove them to his Ludlow house. At the house, the daughter was directed to engage in and did engage in unlawful sexual activity at 9 years old. CNN was like, we had no idea. Okay. They've suspended him. But on his LinkedIn profile, Griffin boasts of having worked shoulder to shoulder with Chris Cuomo, seeing him through each show and producing live breaking news across the country and around the world. Yeah, well, that's your new day. Still waiting for the movie. Now, we should mention, with Christmas coming, that our founder Brent Bozell's collection of stories, a book titled Stops Along the Way, is available now for all your Christmas gift-giving needs. That's what you used to say in small-town radio. For all your hardware needs, for all your hamburgers and fries needs. Anyway, it's simple. To get the book, just go to bozellbook.com. How easy is that? Now, I've heard some of these stories from Brent over the years, but I'm enjoying this. I'm in the middle. I'm not sure where in here he says that Barcelona is the armpit of Spain. That's what he said to me. I've been to Barcelona, so if that's true, Spain must be awesome. Well, El Jefe was just interviewed about the book on the Mark Levin radio show, and you can find that in the must-read section of Newsbusters. Now there's that part on Sundays where we look at Brent H. Baker's Twitter account. Brent H. Baker likes to make video tweets of things that amuse him or upset him. This might be both. Chuck Todd on Meet the Depressed. He's depressed about Joe Biden's approval rating. And then he tried to say, it's not his fault.
It seems as if there's nothing the White House can do to improve their political standing these days. It does feel like Every week there's another poll. It's a new bottom. It's a new this. And some of it is out of their control. Mark Murray and I were having a discussion. His two big promises were to get COVID behind us and to get rid of Donald Trump. COVID's not behind us and Donald Trump's still lurking. It's not his fault.
This is so Jimmy Carter. I was 15, 16 years old. I would hear this from high school classmates. Oh, there's hyperinflation, but it's not his fault. We blame OPEC. It's nothing that he did. Poor Jimmy. Things just happened to him. And then there's the John Heilman adds to this. He says to Chuck, there's no metric other than inflation by which the economy is not stronger than it was a year ago. And yet, inflation has now crowded that out. 6.8% on the CPI last Friday. And then Todd says, yeah, look at this unemployment rate, right? Look at the other things. And you're like, wow. These are people who ignored every stock market record under Trump. These were people who were not paying attention to the decline in unemployment. It was historically low. They didn't use words like historic because they weren't doing a story that would employ such words. Trump's economy, you know, up until 2020, was very successful. And networks like NBC shut it down. They didn't want to talk about it. That wasn't interesting. He just tweeted something mean. That's more interesting. Stormy Daniels, we're all over that. Stock market highs, not interested. But now it's like, oh, hyperinflation, but hey, the unemployment rate is low. There's a couple things here where you can say the economy is not stinking. But they seem really upset that people would look at their own bottom line and say, I don't feel it's so great right now. And then the whole idea that somehow COVID's not behind us and it's not Biden's fault. Well, excuse me, Chuck Todd. Which Democratic presidential candidate stood next to Donald Trump at the debate stage and say he wasn't worthy to be president with the death toll at 220,000? What's the death toll now, Mr. President? Joe Biden promised to end COVID. Isn't that his failing? Maybe he shouldn't have promised to end it, Chuck Todd. All you people at NBC and every other network and every other liberal outlet implied Trump was responsible for every American who died of COVID. And then suddenly on January 20, no Democrat in charge of anything could be in that same electrified chair. We've noticed that over at NPR, they were doing a version of the Chuck Todd. They're very upset at the low approval ratings. On Morning Edition, morning host Steve Inskeep was talking to Domenico Montanaro, hey, the senior analyst for politics at NPR. Inskeep says, you mentioned Biden's low approval rating. He's at 42%, which is the lowest in the NPR survey since he took office. It's particularly bad with independents. Montanaro added that only 38% of Democrats said they strongly approve of the job the president's doing, while 76% of Republicans say they strongly disapprove of the job that Biden is doing. So you have double the negative intensity toward Biden than the positive stuff. So all the experts sitting around the Morning Edition table proceeded to complain. Why do people downplay any benefit to them? Oh, Biden's rolled out this child tax credit, just handing money to people, and they don't seem to respond by goosing his approval rating. It's really explicit in a segment like this on NPR where they're like, the Democrats passed a massive spending bill, and what was supposed to happen is that everybody in the middle class and lower is supposed to approve of the Democrats because you just handed them some money. Well, you also took the money from them and then gave it back to them. At least if you are truly middle class, that's the way that works. You're not just redistributing the wealth downward. Sometimes you're just taking it and giving it back, and then you want credit. You can have a Chris Wallace cupcake. But there they were. Kelsey Snell, NPR congressional correspondent, she lamented what they called a perception disconnect. People aren't crediting Biden for the checks they're getting. They got really upset because just about as many people, 17% credited Biden, 17% credited the Republicans. And then they're like, the Republicans voted no. Okay. They're still in office. I mean, that's really kind of funny. But that's what they wanted. They're like, we hand you money, you give us vote. We buy votes. We call this democracy. Yes, Democrats, the titans of democracy. We hand you a check, you vote for us. So idealistic. Okay. So Domenico Montanaro said, this poll really raises a lot of red flags for the party, especially when they thought these two pieces of legislation, the infrastructure bill, the Build Back Better bill, if they can get that passed, could be something they could put their cap on. Yeah, notice Montanaro here keeps referring it the massive socialist wealth redistribution package as Build Back Better. There's no quotes. It's just the Build Back Better bill. This is one of those things. Do you think that the NPR anywhere would say anything was the Making America Great Again bill? If Trump put out a bill that was the Making America Great Again Act, maybe he did. I don't know. I wouldn't know because the news media would never repeat those words. It'd be like, puff, puff. We're not seeing those words. But they say Build Back Better bill. Build Back Better bill. They don't even blink. There's no so-called Build Back Better. There's no quote-unquote Build Back Better. They just go, oh, Biden's Build Back Better bill. That's called, guess what, guys? You're Democrat publicists. There's nothing objective. There's nothing fair and balanced about just taking Biden's terms and repeating them like little lemmings. It does make you kind of happy that buying votes with your tax dollars does not seem to be working right now for the Democrats. One last item. Did you see Miss Universe on Fox? Not many people probably did. I was watching the Packers, especially the second half. The second half was much better than the first half for the Packer fan. Yes, the Miss Universe pageant was on Fox. I guess that was counter-programming. But Mrs. Graham wanted to see it, so she wanted to flip during the commercial breaks to see what was going on during the Packer game. So then they have these things where, okay, you're down to the five finalists. You're going to all ask them, quote-unquote, serious questions. Capital S, capital Q. Now we're going to take beauty queens who are best qualified to tell you, you know, which curlers work best. And I'm not saying these women are dumb, but beauty is what they're competing in right now. It's not to say a football player is a dummy because he plays football, but you don't necessarily ask football players about criminal justice reform unless they're Colin Kaepernick. Anyway, they had the five finalists there, and they said, oh, pick the questioner out of a hat. So Miss India was first. She got the question, many people think climate change is a hoax. What will you do to convince them otherwise?
Many people think climate change is a hoax. What would you do to convince them otherwise?
Honestly, my heart breaks to see how nature is going through a lot of problems, and it's all due to our irresponsible behavior. And I totally feel that this is the time to take actions and talk less, because our each action could either kill or save nature. Prevent and protect is better than repent and repair, and this is what I'm trying to convince you guys today.
Now, this is what I hate about beauty pageant answers. You know, they're going to be sort of like Eddie Murphy's jokes about how Stevie Wonder accepts Grammy Awards. I mean, everything is like, you know, I just like to thank all the little people. Everything is, you know, humanity and nature. I'm for humanity. I'm for nature. We need to do what we can do to save nature so we can save humanity. Everything is just boilerplate. This is bumper sticker slogan time. I mean, I understand that you want to ask beauty pageant contestants something somewhat intellectual. But I mean, this ends up being, to me, something that's like, dear spokesmodel, many think climate change is a hoax. They really need your experience in climatology to convince them otherwise. I mean, this is just the wrong question, because a lot of people wouldn't necessarily that climate change is unreal. they wouldn't say that the whole thing is a hoax. You know what they think is a hoax? The idea that we're all going to fry in 10 years. That's the part they think is a hoax. Because guess what? These same people, these same climate panickers, were saying this in 1990. We've got 10 years till the planet falls apart. 30 years later, we're shameless and still saying the same stuff. That's what the hoax is. You know, and you know that if Miss India got up and said, well, you people have all overdone this. In the 1970s, you said overpopulation would kill us all. You don't get to win Miss Universe. Yes, what we're used to is sort of what we got on the Jake Tapper show on Sunday, where they brought on the new leader of the Federal Emergency Management Agency and asked the natural question, aren't these massive tornadoes in Kentucky proof of global warming? Global warming! And the FEMA person is right there. You know, Biden picked her for a reason. So they can sit there and all talk about the new normal of climate change. So pass the Green New Deal. The shared ideological dispositions just make the Tapper Show so cozy. The conventional wisdom boils gently on the stove. We're not making crazy sauce here. We're just saying we're all going to die in 10 years. Come on. You know, this is one of those areas where you certainly don't go to CNN for balance on climate change. You don't go to the Miss Universe pageant for a policy debate. CNN absolutely was a network that had a special called the People Bomb. CNN was a panicker in the 90s. If CNN was older than 1980, they would have been panicking us in the 70s. That's why a subject like climate change should have some sense of fairness and balance, some sense that there actually is a debate to be had. And as we know, liberals who say they're the titans of democracy and debate don't want to have a debate. They want to shut you down and shut you up and say you don't get to say anything about this, but we're the titans of democracy. Well, that's why we're here. We're here to call out a lie. You are not the titans of democracy. You're just the titans of liberalism. We're bringing the democracy to you right here at Newsbusters. Once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for checking it out.